Hello, everyone. This is Dr. T, and I'm here contemplating the first Marked Our Souls segment. I mean, I'm not even sure how to really kick something like this off. So much of life has happened, I believe, probably to everyone. But deciding which experience to start with for this podcast, to go out into the universe, has been a bit of a challenge. So I decided, with the blessing of Cheryl Jackson, to talk a little bit about Kendall Jackson and how Kendall Jackson affected my life. But first, I have to tell you who Kendall Jackson was, okay? So Kendall was a guy in high school who he and I just became like the best of friends, to the point where he was and is and will always be my brother. Yes, he had siblings. He had an older sister named Nichelle and a younger sister named Kim. And I was his sister too. He had the biggest heart. And loved everybody and loved on everybody and was hilarious and was a deep thinker, always a deep thinker. One thing that I remember from high school about Kendall is this boy would never go to class. I mean, he would, especially any sort of math class, algebra, geometry, whatever. He would never go to class. He didn't feel like getting up and going to school. Just couldn't make it to school on time. It just wasn't his thing. Never do homework. And he would always get A's on the exam. And always had detention because he never wanted to go to class or at least get to school on time. His poor mother, she had to work. She was working hard. She had three kids at home. So she was working hard. And she was a nurse. Yeah, she worked a lot. Mama Jackson is what I called her. So Kendall, even though the teachers loved him, that fella, he sure stayed in trouble. Another thing with Kendall, see, because we've been friends for decades. So another thing with Kendall is on his birthday, we would always wind up talking. And then you could hear his sister, Nichelle, in the background singing. So Nichelle and Kendall shared their birthday. Their birthdays were on the same day. But she was 2 years older than him, I believe. And so she had an awesome voice, a really, really pretty voice. So she would always start to sing happy birthday to him or happy birthday in the background. And he and I would be on the phone and he was like, listen, listen, listen. And I'm like, what? He like, listen, that's Nichelle singing. I'm like, okay. And then you can hear her blowing it out in the background. And he goes, see, I can't stand her. And then we would just bust out laughing. And then another thing I remember with Kendall is his younger sister was in her 20s when she had a baby. But when she first got pregnant, this nut was on the phone like, what is happening? He was just like, oh my goodness, my baby sister is having a baby. I don't even want to picture her having sex. I mean, oh my God. And I laughed so hard that day because I knew he meant it. I'm like, what is going on with Kendall? He is so silly. And my parents loved him. He would come around, have a beer with my dad. Everybody loved Kendall. As a matter of fact, we would go long periods of times not even talking. I mean, he left the state at some point, came back. I left the state and came back. He would live in one city, I'd live in another city. We were just sometimes just two people who couldn't necessarily talk all the time. But when you're friends like that, when you're connected in your heart like that was my brother. When we got on the phone, we just picked up where we left off and just would catch up and talk about anything and everything and just find out what was going on in each other's lives. Another thing with Kendall is he loved to do tattoos. He was well known. If you went to his Facebook page, he was well known for doing tattoos because he was so creative and such an artist. And then it's just something about his heart and just his spirit. You just enjoyed his company. So eventually, a lot of time had gone by from the last time I talked and saw Kendall to the next time I saw Kendall. During this period, life was happening to me. That's the best way I can put it. But I was one of those people where I'm not really a social media buff, right? And at one point in 2019, I got back on Facebook. And I'm like, might have been late 2018, who knows? But I got back on Facebook actually to join a run group. I know, random. But that was the only way that that's the only way that the run group communicated was through Facebook. So I said, well, fine, I'll get back on Facebook. I'll join the group so I'll get all the notifications. Now, sad to say, I've only gone once, but that's because it just got really hot and a lot of mosquitoes. Yeah, I just couldn't really keep up with the whole run group. But that's off the subject. I'm talking about Kendall. So I would see Kendall Green on Facebook. And my assumption is whenever you're green on Facebook, that means that you're available to talk or you're aware or you're on your page or you're active, so on and so forth. And I kept saying, I need to reach out to Kendall and let him know, I want to talk to him. We need to talk. We need to get together, catch up. Oh. But I know once I get on the phone with him, we are going to be on the phone for like 2, 3, 4 hours. There's no way to get around it. We love each other and we haven't talked in years by this point. And we got to catch up. There is so much to talk about. And I just stayed busy. I was working a lot. I worked a lot of hours back then, 40, 50, 60 hours easy during the week. I would come home tired and just never really got around to reaching out to Kendall, sending him a message or anything to get his number, to catch up with him. And I missed him and I still do. So eventually one evening I'm home, I'm settling in, I'm just relaxing, I guess you could say. And my phone rings and it's my sister. And my sister calls me and she goes, hey, what you doing? I'm like, nothing. She's like, you're working? No, not necessarily at the moment. My computer's open, but I'm just sitting here collecting my thoughts. I'm off, I guess you could say. She goes, okay, well, I need to tell you something. So I'm like, oh, crap, And she goes, did you hear Kendall passed away? I said, you said what? And she was like, Kendall passed away. And she says, I said, you must be mistaken. See, something's wrong. And that's not, I don't know where you're getting this from, but that's not, no, I didn't hear that. So where'd you hear it from? And she's like, well, I heard it from such and such a person. So where'd they get it from? And she's like, Teresa, I don't know. And I didn't mean to get attitude with my sister. She just completely threw me off. That's all. But my immediate reaction was like, No. But she did tell me she didn't have any details. And she'll call me back. So we hung up the phone. And I just sat there with my computer open. And I looked around my apartment. And I just sat there in silence. And I was like, no. This is just a horrible rumor, see, because I was going to call him. I mean, I was busy. He was green. I was going to call him. I'm going to get around to calling him. I was going to call him. This has got to be a horrible rumor. There's no way that Kendall, he and I are the same age. This doesn't even make sense. There's no way Kendall was gone. And then I waited, and eventually I was on Facebook and his sister Nichelle posted that Kendall had passed away. And I think I read her post, I don't know, 20 times. And I was heartbroken. Because my first response was just to go, God, I was gonna call him, but I was just so busy. And now he's gone. And I'm like, but I was gonna call him. And we were going to be on the phone for 2, 3, 4 hours. And we were going to catch up. And now he's gone. And then something drew me to his last comment to one of my Facebook posts, which was so old. And his comment was years after that post. Because remember, I just got back on Facebook to join a run group. I wasn't doing the social media thing. And his last words to me on Facebook were, I miss this chick. And as you can tell, it still hurts. But Kendall's passing taught me a very valuable lesson, because if I had never known or remembered anything about time, I remembered it when Kendall left here. I remembered that time is a gift. You can't store it. You can't rewind it. After 45, it definitely feels like it just speeds up. And we're in an era where we're taking care of our parents, and you know, we're in an era of transition. We're losing parents. We're taking care of parents. We are. Some of us are losing siblings, and we're losing friends. And it's a lot. It's a lot right now in this era in our life. And now we've got COVID-19. There is a lot to sort out at this time in our life. But in this moment, July of 2019, me, Dr. T, I had to sort out my regret that I didn't pick up the phone and make that phone call. And now he's gone. And the first thing for me, the first thing I thought of was a scripture. Let me read it to you. This is me changing into my reading glasses. It says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And so in remembering that scripture, which I always say life is a vapor, but you got to read the whole verse to understand that life is a vapor is not the main part of that verse. The main part of that verse is if the Lord wills, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, then you'll be able to do this or that. And the Lord had decided to take Kendall home. So I can't call Kendall. I can't meet up with Kendall. We can't do or talk about this or that. So if you take nothing away from me sharing this story, just remember how precious time is. God is always in control from the beginning to the end, and He is infinite. So He is not checking for how you feel about what's happening in this particular moment in our time. You just have to remember that He's in charge. Don't take anything for granted. If you get an inkling to pick the phone and call somebody, then you call them and say hello and spend some time with them. Don't be too busy, because time doesn't belong to you. And there is something to be said when you keep getting a nudging deep down in your inner parts, in your inner man. And for me, I felt like that was God's spirit trying to connect to the spirit in me, nudging me to pick up the phone or send that message and talk to your brother, because you miss him and you haven't talked to him in a while and you want to catch up. You want to see him if you can. And I kept ignoring that nudging that was coming on the inside because I was too busy. No. Kendall taught me a valuable lesson. Maybe I forgot it somewhere along the way. But he taught me a valuable lesson about time. And he reminded me about that inner man, that thing that in your spirit, that nudging that you get, to follow that, because that's something telling you something. It's telling you something. Connect with it. And so I had his mom's permission to tell the story, if I haven't said this already. But there's a little bit more to Kendall's story. And what I'm going to do now is read her Facebook post. He's been gone for a little over a year now. And she posted something on Facebook around the anniversary of his death. I believe it was on July 17th of 2019. So she just posted it not too long ago. I won't ramble. Let me read it. Dear Facebook family, words cannot express my gratitude for all the amazing love and words of comfort for the loss of Kendall a year ago. Having said that, it was put on my heart to have a conversation about his life. As you know, he was unique, smart, and driven. He was my one and only son. As a baby, he wouldn't talk. When he began talking in sentences, Nikki helped teach him to read at only the age of 3, and she was only in kindergarten. He started school at 4 years old and won his first citywide art contest. He was the only first grader in the 6th grade chess club. He won art scholarships to the Cleveland Institute of Art. He was gifted and ranked in the top 10% of students in the nation. Kendall was invited to tour NASA and question the astronauts. Those poor fellas. He often said he wanted to be an architect and build me a house. In high school, he won a full ride academic scholarship to The Ohio State University. Wow. Then life happened and Kendall changed. At 23, he was in college studying to become an architect. He lived in Savannah, Georgia at the time, working and paying his own way. Then life happened again, and all the above that indicated promise of a great future just couldn't save him. I've said all this to bring my narrative to address mental health. Kendall, for the last half of his life, was living with bipolar disorder. He was not crazy, nuts, or psycho. I know it wasn't always said to be hurtful, but bipolar is a neurological brain disorder that affects 2.3 million Americans. The United States in this country has the highest prevalence diagnosed at 15 to 19 years old. My son is gone, and I must share his story and his struggle, the struggle that he had just to have a good day. Yes, he had his issues. No, he would not take his medication. He was well-read on just about everything. Just pick a topic. He made a conscious decision, though, to self-medicate for various reasons and to cope with life itself. He tried to keep things away from me because he never wanted to see me sad or see me cry. I loved him so much. So you see, being bipolar is no different than being diagnosed with diabetes. You must take your meds. Yet, as a society, we have sympathy for one and shame for the other. The symptoms come and go, and you can't pray them away. No one is immune from mental health disease. Each of us knows someone. Insert their name right here. Show them love. Finally, Kendall's life journey was not as I hoped it would be. But thank you to those who loved on him. Please don't judge his story by the chapter you walked in on. God has always been in control. Be blessed, Duchess. See, I also had some experiences with Kendall when life changed. One evening, I was on the phone with Kendall, and he was like, T, I see Danita in the television. I feel like I see her in the commercials, and she's trying to talk to me, and she's trying to tell me something. And then he'd laugh, then I'd laugh, and I guess, you know, he was just laughing it off. You know, I hadn't gone to pharmacy school then. So, you know, in my ignorance, I didn't know what to do. But I didn't take him seriously, that he was seriously having hallucinations. And at that time, we laughed. And there was another time where Kendall's ex-girlfriend, beautiful woman from El Salvador, she and I talked on the phone, and she said he locked himself in the bathroom and he won't come out. And she was hysterical. And I knew that was very uncharacteristic of Kendall. I was a safe place, but I didn't really know what to do. Not too long after that, I believe is when Kendall had his first, what is known as a psychotic break. And his mother and his father rushed to take care of him. And he spent a short time away. They medicated him. And he was released. And after some time when he was released, I talked to him. Kendall didn't want to take those meds. Mm-mm. They were slowing him down. They were slowing down his creativity, his thought processes. He didn't like the way they made him feel. And I knew it was important for him to take those medications, but everyone who knows Kendall knows that he can be stubborn. He's a lover by nature, but he is stubborn because he just was smart and intelligent, and he knew what he knew, and he was going to figure out how to control the disease on his own. And his mom, Mama Jackson, was like, Teresa, you know, all he needs is a year. They told me all he needs is a year on these meds and he will be just fine. But that's not what Kendall wanted to do. Now, don't get me wrong. Kendall had a diagnosis. Yes, he did. He was not that way all the time. No, he was not. He didn't stay in a complete state of his diagnosis all the time. He did tattoos to make money. And he was still, nevertheless, always deep thinking Kendall. Those things that disease couldn't take away from him. I think it's ironic that there are so many people out here walking around with different diagnoses that they hide from their family members. And yet we want to label the people who can't hide them, who probably need our love the most. At least that's what resonated for me when I read Mama Jackson's Facebook post. Nevertheless, I love Kendall. In Kendall's effort to self-medicate the illness to have a good day, as his mom says, that he used to say all the time. That Sunday, she spent some time with her son. That Monday, Kendall called his son and wished him a happy birthday. And somewhere in that Monday or that Tuesday, he smoked some weed. Not sure where he got it from. And the weed was laced with the fentanyl or fentanyl derivative. And although Kendall did weed, what Kendall did not do was hard drugs. Mm-mm, not my Kendall. My brother would never put any toxins in his body, and he told his mama that all the time. I'll drink a beer, and he smoked cigarettes. And he always had one propped behind one ear. And he smoked weed. We knew that. But in the Youngstown area, evidently, there is a drug problem and the weed is laced with fentanyl, and the toxicology report came back that Kendall had the fentanyl or fentanyl derivative in his system, which was probably a bit more that what he needed that actually just depressed his respiratory system so, and his central nervous system so, that he went to sleep and just stopped breathing and never woke up. And that's another lesson to young people. When you're out here experimenting and doing different things, and it's not about trusting where you're getting it from, because you don't know where that came from. And you don't know where it came from before that, how they cut it down, broke it up, mixed it up, and rolled it up and handed it to you. You don't know. So just stop. I miss Kendall immensely. And though I do regret not calling him when I had that nudging before he passed away and exited, he still lives with me every day. I listen more to that inner knowing, that spirit that says to reach out to somebody I love. I can't say that enough. And I do my best, as imperfect as I am, to respect time. I love Kendall. And Mama Jackson and Kim and Michelle, thank you for sharing him with me. Y'all know Kendall was the only one that could go over to my parents' house, hang out, and then stay the night. And that same loving spirit is the way he loved on everybody, whether he was had a bad day or not. He never took it out on other people. He just tried to deal with it on his own. And so this is the end of my first Mark Our Soul segment. Thank you for listening. Just as an afterthought, I want to leave you with the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration hotline. That phone number is 1-800-662-HELP. Again, that's 1-800-662-4357. This number is toll free, and what they do is they transfer you to specialists in your area. The website is samhsa.gov. Also, there are some snippets regarding the definition and signs and symptoms of various mental health diseases on YouTube. There is a Dr. Tracy Marks. She has short snippets that I found very interesting and thorough. Tracy has an E in it, so it's T-R-A-C-E-Y, and the last name is M-A-R-K-S. She is a psychiatrist, and these are snippets to kind of self-educate. They are not meant to diagnose. Again, they are not meant for you to go out here and try to diagnose yourself or anyone else. But if you have questions, she does a great job of answering them on her YouTube channel. I found her snippets short and informative. Thank you. Have a great evening.